You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the League Podcast with William Hill. Alex Dunn and Pete Farries are here to look ahead to the Championship this weekend. Six games to go at, two televised games as well, coming up in just a few moments. First up, though, good morning, Pete Farries. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Alex, how are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Again, we say this every week now, but some massive games this week. The top of the table is all of a sudden looking pretty tight again. Burnley, who had looked home and hosed, have had three draws in a row. Middlesbrough have had three wins in a row. Brighton remain in there pitching. One of those sides is going to be feeling a little bit unhappy and sore and bitter about ending up in the playoffs at the end of this, aren't they?
They are, and Hull could be amongst that group as well. Obviously, Hull, with a bit like Middlesbrough, both have a game in hand over Burnley and Brighton. They win those, it puts even more of a spin on things. I would certainly say that those top five now will be in some way, shape or form, and it's not particularly elaborate or controversial to say this, but those top five, I'm still not convinced on Derby.
So you're throwing Sheffield Wednesday into the playoff mix, definitely?
Yes, yeah, yeah. I think they are. Derby, I know they got an absolutely magnificent win, and credit to them, against Hull the other day. But I still think, you know, Ipswich and Cardiff might be in with a shout. A couple of their run-ins are quite, you'd imagine, possibly quite point-filled. So it could be interesting to see how they go at the end of the season. But it's absolutely cracking as to who automatically goes up. And some big games this weekend that might help decide that.
Yeah, Birmingham, another side who could have been in their pitching. They've choked in recent weeks, though. So looks like they've blown their chance. Whereas at the bottom, Bolton, Charlton and MK Dons. That's surely going to be it, isn't it, Pete?
Well, you think so, wouldn't you? Rotherham's form has, of course, leapt magnificently up. You got a win for Brentford that pulled them away. You've had an okay month from Leeds United, of course. You've seen Huddersfield still continue to be good. Fulham got a massive win, and for the MK Dons, I mean, that 2-1 loss last weekend was an absolute kicker, wasn't it, for them? And they just don't seem like they're going to win a game. I mean, it's been a good season of experience for them. The club will have grown in stature a little bit, but this is a side who are in the bottom three, right? So in the bottom three. And if you think about that, and you think about the fact that they took the lead, albeit from their own goal, but they took the lead against Wolves, capitulated second half. They got back into the game against Fulham, but then blew it. You know, they're just a side who, I'm afraid, don't seem like they have wins in them. If they do, then now's the time to get them, of course.
I was going to say, they've got a huge game coming up against Rotherham this weekend. We'll be talking about that in just a few moments. And of course, you mentioned Brentford there, Pete. Last podcast that we did, we were all, ooh, they might go down, they might do this, and then two convincing wins, and all of a sudden they're comfortably mid-table, aren't they?
Well, the two wins that came out of nowhere, but congratulations to them. They got them, and yeah, you're absolutely right. We were talking about the possible value, and that value relied on them messing up over the next two games, which ultimately they haven't done.
No, not at all. So, well done, Brentford. And we look forward to seeing you in the Championship again next season. Right, we'll start with Burnley against Leeds. That is the Saturday lunchtime game. Burnley 11-20, the draw 3-1, and Leeds in the betting at 5-1. Burnley, three draws in a row, at home to Wolves, away at Brighton, and at home to Cardiff, stuttering a little bit, and they will just be a little bit anxious coming into this, but coming against the Leeds side, who on their day can beat anyone, but they need to have their day, and you'd imagine that a lot of people will have this down as a home banker here, Pete.
And I think rightly so, at 11-20. I know that Steve Evans is one of the few who's been nominated for Manager of the Month over the course of a very decent March for Leeds to a certain extent, but come on. I mean, they've just been battered by Huddersfield. They lost to Rotherham, including some of the most horrendous defensive mistakes you will ever see from Belushi. They were really very poor against QPR. I mean, I know that you took a late QPR penalty to get things back on track, but they were still a side who
ultimately haven't got going in the last three games. They have been scoring, but then Burnley don't concede, do they? I mean, they've barely conceded at home for a long time. I think it's just two times since the beginning of December that Burnley have conceded in a home game at Turf Moor. I am one of these people, I'm afraid, who suggests that Burnley will absolutely win this game. Vokes has five goals in six home games. Burnley minus one is 29-20. They have gone through a sticky patch, Burnley, as you said in the preamble, Alex. And again, some teams you'd expect them to beat. Wolves and Cardiff have both been to Turf Moor and left with a point. The draw against Brighton, away at Brighton, we can of course let go. But despite all of this, I just can't see Leeds, with the form that they have begun to stutter into, with the defensive mistakes they're making, I can't see them getting anything from Burnley. I think statistically, that's the way that you have to be pushed. Like I say, Sam Vokes is 6-5, a perfectly good bet when you consider that the reverse of that is his record at home recently. And all of it just seems to fall very simply. I mean, I know that 11-20 is a dangerous championship price at times, but Burnley to win with Andre Gray to score is, of course, the enhanced offer. But with Vokes, it's 6-4 any time on these score win casts. I just could not for the life of me find a decent argument to back Leeds United here. I know that Burnley have been sloppy, have been a little bit devoid of ideas of late, but that doesn't matter to me. Burnley the play.
Okay, Burnley the pick in that one. Next up is Nottingham Forest against Brighton. This one is Monday night at 7:45. The betting sees Forest at 12-5, the draw at 21-10, and Brighton at 5-4. Pretty much a must-win for Brighton if they are to keep the pressure on the likes of Burnley and Middlesbrough. Of course, they'll have known how those two sides have got on by the time that they play here. Forest have been in pretty abject form of late. Their home form, which can be pretty solid, has taken a real battering in recent weeks with 3-0 defeats to Sheffield Wednesday and Brentford. And they'll be looking to bounce back as well. They have something to prove here, but Brighton come into this in good form, and 5-4, it's, I'd say, a fair price here, Pete.
Do you think?
Yeah, do you think they should be shorter?
No, I think I do think they should be shorter.
I just think that away from home in the Championship, if you're getting odds on anyone, then that's too short, if that makes sense. But
yeah, I know what you mean, but this is a Brighton side who've lost only twice away from home this season.
And that they are flying, and Forest have been poor of late.
I mean, they've just off the back of wins at Bristol City, and comfortable as well. MK Dons, Birmingham. Forest are falling like a stone. Forest haven't scored in four of their last six home games, have conceded six in their last two, have conceded 10 in their last five. They got a narrow 1-0 win over Preston. Congratulations for that. But ultimately, they are a side who absolutely can't be backed here. I love Brighton in this market. I really do at 5-4. And again, if you look at the race to two markets, as we've said before, a market that's much better to play in play race to two and three. But they lost it against Huddersfield. They lost it against Bristol City. They lost it against Wednesday. And they lost it against Brentford. So again, four of the last five, they've lost that race to two. But then what about Brighton on the road? Well, they've won that in three of their last four, haven't they? Hit four at Bristol City, two at the MK Dons, two at Birmingham. You look at their generalised form recently. They won it, as we said, against Birmingham. They won it against a much better side, of course, than Forest in Brighton. They won it against Leeds. They won it against Bolton. They won it against Brentford. They won it against Huddersfield. It's been all over the Brighton records recently. They're finally starting to score goals that we worried about for some time. So that race to two at 7-4 would be a definite play. And look at this enhanced odds as well. From 13-5 to 7-2 for Tomer Hemed to score and Brighton to win. 7-2, Alex. Absolutely brilliant. Guy's got 13 goals in the league this season. Is looking so, so sharp. And they have, you know, Murphy and Goldson scored the other day, didn't he? And there is goals across that Brighton side, but he is still the man for me. So that race to two is brilliant value. The Tomer Hemed enhanced offers, brilliant offer, I think, and brilliant odds on that 7-2. But ultimately, look at Brighton at 5-4. Forest aren't scoring goals. Forest are conceding goals. Brighton are the play.
Okay. We move to a key clash at the bottom of the table. And it's the first of the 3 o'clock games that we're going to look at, and it is the MK Dons against Rotherham. MK Dons are 11-8, the draw 9-4, and Rotherham 2-1. This is huge. A defeat here for MK Dons pretty much relegates them, I think it's fair to say. Whereas if they can win this, they go within 3 points of Rotherham once again, and they have the hope, but they do have to win this. They've lost their last three, as we said, pretty tight ones as well, to Brighton, Fulham and Wolves. Whereas Rotherham have been flying, they've been in fantastic form. Granted, away from home, not quite as good, but they've still managed to win. Well, they're unbeaten in the last three on the road. Sheffield Wednesday, Ipswich and Bristol City. They've been an absolute revelation under Neil Warnock. Can MK Dons get anything from this, Pete?
They can, but I don't want to back them as fabs in the market to do so.
Mm. No, I think that's very fair. Rotherham at 2-1 looks pretty big on the face of it when you consider these two sides' form in recent weeks.
I mean, Rotherham draw no bet is 23-20, for example, which would be very interesting. A draw, of course, wouldn't be horrendous for Rotherham. In the scheme of things, that's not awful. There might be a both score no draw that comes live before the game, and I like that because 4-5 for both teams to score is nice. Landed in the last four MK Dons games, landed in three of the last five Rotherham games. Admittedly, not landed a huge amount for Rotherham away games of late, but again, three of the last four for the MK Dons. So the 4-5 for both teams to score is very, very nice. But ultimately, I would play the draw no bet. I would play the draw no bet here because even though MK Dons can get something in this game, Rotherham, if of all the games that Neil Warnock is going to pragmatically set up for, this is the one. Even though they've had some great results recently, beating Ipswich at Ipswich, beating Borough, of course, they just sat and waited and hit Leeds twice. If they get a draw from this game, of course, it's not over. We've got another, five games after this. But a win, just stolen, a little bit like they've done a couple of their wins under Neil Warnock. And by stolen, I don't mean that they've been battered and they've just nicked it. I just mean they've sat there, they've stayed to their organisation and their discipline. So ultimately for me, I think the Rotherham draw no bet to the play because I think, you know, with a minute or two to go, Rotherham would take a draw. The MK Dons maybe wouldn't. But I don't mind at all playing the draw no bet Rotherham. I just think that Warnock's nous, of all the games he's going to apply it to, he would apply it to this one. He's won some great games recently, and a draw for Rotherham, not the end of the world anyway.
Okay, so Rotherham edging it there in what should be a key clash at the bottom of the table. Next up is Derby against Bolton. Derby are 1-3, the draw 19-5, and Bolton are 9-1. Bolton are definitely down, only 26 points from 40 games. They've been in dire form as well recently. And that sort of mini revival that they had around Christmas time seems well and truly in the past now. Derby, on the other hand, another side who have had blips, and they certainly haven't been as good in the second half of the season as they were in the first, but they were fantastic against Hull last week. You look back at other home games that they've had recently as well, and there's that big win against Nottingham Forest. They've also beaten Huddersfield and Blackburn without conceding, so four home games without letting a goal in for Derby. You'd probably expect that to continue here because Bolton have only scored 15 times on the road all season. I think the question I'm going to ask you here, Pete, is not do you think Derby will win, but what kind of markets are you going to be looking at to enhance that 1-3?
I think Bolton win this game.
Really?
No.
Okay.
I don't. You've just taken through many of the stats that I had available. Bolton's lack of goals away from home, the fact that all that fight appears to have maybe fallen away now. And once that fight goes, it's borderline impossible to get it back. You know, away from home recently, they've conceded three at Forest, two at Wolves, although it was a 2-2 draw, three at Brighton, one at Birmingham, two at Leeds, six at Bristol City, and three against Brentford. They've conceded just one goal in an away game only once this calendar year. Every other time they've conceded more than two. You are looking, in fact, if you go across the whole season, just four times against the MK Dons, against Blackburn, against Preston, against Hull, and against Birmingham. Sorry, that's five. Five times this season away from home that they have basically kept their conceding down to just one goal or less. That's not going to get you anywhere. Derby haven't conceded in the last four at home. They've beaten Hull magnificently, of course, on Tuesday. They got past Forest, Huddersfield and Blackburn, teams of relatively better ilk than Bolton, but still are looking over their shoulders, I suppose, a little bit. Again, you're absolutely right in what you say. What kind of way can you enhance this? Derby minus one is 5-6. Minus two is 9-4. You could look at both of those. You could go towards, of course, Derby to win the race to two at 1-2, the race to three at 29-20. You could look at the double result market, Derby, which again would not be even remotely a bad play. Bolton are getting done in both first and second halves of games, 4-5. So all of this, for me, serves to basically be looking for that enhancement. That's what you're looking for. You are absolutely right in what you say. You're looking for that enhancement. Chris Martin, of course, has two in his last three home games, so you could always pick Chris Martin out any time at 17-20. You know, I covered Bolton for a little while. And to be honest, I'm not the kind of football fan who likes to see anyone relegated or likes to see anyone do anything horrible. It's not kind of my bag. I just like good football and interest and debate about it. But Bolton are a very sad story and are going to go down. And now they've been bought, hopefully can start a brand new era, because it really, this season just needs to end for them, and they need to start that era sharpish, basically.
Okay. Right, next up is Bristol City against Sheffield Wednesday. Bristol City sit in 20th, Sheffield Wednesday in 5th. Bristol City should be safe. They're 7 points clear as things stand. But again, if MK Dons can get a positive result at Rotherham, they'll still be looking slightly nervously over their shoulder. Sheffield Wednesday in flying form once again of late. They seem to have been in really good form for a lot of this season, yet still can't quite get to the top three in the league. Bristol City are 7-4, the draw 11-5, and Sheffield Wednesday are 8-5. A little surprised to see the Owls that big, but this is a pretty tight encounter, Pete.
It's not as easy as I think it looks on the face of things, in terms of, well, Sheffield Wednesday 8-5 against anyone's interesting. I am still going to back the Owls, though. It has to be said, they've been brilliant defensively on the road of late. They've not conceded in their last four away games. Two of those, of course, 0-0 draws at Hull and Brighton. Their away form has been the problem all season, hasn't it? That's why they're not in that top three reckoning, because it's been their away form where they've not really got going as much as I think lots of people would have liked. Admittedly, they had to play against 10-man Blackburn Rovers to win the game. Obviously, it was a bad couple of minutes, wasn't it, for Blackburn? They conceded an own goal and then had a player sent off in about two or three minute spell. So it's pretty simple, I think, for me in terms of the bet, because Wednesday aren't conceding away from home. Bristol City, you know, they hit 6-2 home games ago, but who was that against? Bolton. We spoke about Neil Warnock's pragmatism against a team toward the bottom. Rotherham got themselves a draw in that game, and Bristol City, of course, had to come from behind in that. Brighton have been to Bristol City and won. Burnley have been to Bristol City and won. Admittedly, Bristol City beat Borough in the 90th minute, and of course have done the double over Borough this season. But as much as Bristol City have got a huge amount of credit, I think, anyway, for the way they've managed at the moment to get themselves into what looks like, only looks like, a relatively safe position. Of course, that can change in the last six games, but a relatively safe position. You do still have to be with Sheffield Wednesday. In my opinion, you do. I mean, the fact of the matter is that Forestieri is 17-10. You've got, of course, a massive goal the other day from Ross Wallace, who's 16-5. In the market any time as well. It's no great surprise to hear me put up Fernando Forestieri to score in a game, is it? But in the end, I looked and I thought, hang on, even though Wednesday away from home have been unpredictable this season, they've scored four goals in the last two away games, they've not conceded in the last four, including at Hull and Brighton, and generally speaking, they're in very, very good form. Four back-to-back wins. Bristol City, two losses, admittedly both away from home, two wins against Fulham and Bolton, who aren't, of course, Wednesday's calibre this season, and a draw against Rotherham. That 8-5 for me is still a very hardy play.
Okay. The final game we're going to look at on this edition of the podcast is QPR against Charlton. Charlton, who haven't had bad results in the last couple of weeks, but just other results are going against them, and they've got too much ground to make up, or so it would seem. It's another must-win for them. They travel to Loftus Road to play a QPR side who are, well, they're very much mid-table, aren't they? They have the games where they look really good. They have only lost four times at home this season, and they're priced up at 4-5. The draw 13-5, and Charlton here are 17-5, Pete.
QPR the play. Let's get that straight out there at 4-5. I think they're a very, very nice-looking price. A very nice-looking price. Look at QPR's home form. You've said the amount of losses that they've had this season. That 3-2 loss against Borough, they didn't deserve to lose that 3-2. Having said that, you can say that some of their defending was so utterly atrocious that maybe they did. Sebastian Poulter had what looked like a perfectly good goal disallowed. So they lost against second in the place Borough and probably deserved a point. No more than a point, but probably deserved a point. This is a side, though, who generally speaking, don't concede a huge amount of goals at home. Didn't concede in three of the last five. Didn't concede against Ipswich just before that as well. And Charlton away from home. Look at who they have won at this season. They've won at Birmingham in November when Birmingham were having a bad patch. They've won at Brentford in the middle of their big bad patch, and they've won comfortably at Rotherham, who, of course, have not had the best of seasons. That's where Charlton have won this season. They are not, I don't think, going to add to that anyway, QPR. 4-5 is a great bet, in my opinion, on QPR. There's a couple of really nice slight odds on or slight odds against this week, I think, and this is one of them. And a man who I've been putting up all season, and we've had really good success with. He's one of, you know, you have kind of a bet, you have a couple of bets in a season that you keep sort of backing along the way, don't you?
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, it's one of those things that if it's won your money, you want to keep going back to it.
Exactly, and Tiaran Cherry is that man that I want to keep going back to. 17-10. Look at this guy's form. 5 goals in his last 7 games. If you're looking at his home form, he scored in the last 5 QPR home games. He scored, of course, from the penalty spot against Leeds midweek. So Tiaran Cherry at 17-10. Would be the goal scorer recommendation. But ultimately, Charlton's away form in relation to QPR's home form, I even at this stage of the season when Charlton might be gunning for something and QPR have nothing to gun for, I'll still play QPR.
Okay, fair enough. Right, we'll move on to naps then. I won't be napping in the Championship this week. I'll be delving into the lower leagues. What about you, Pete? What do you fancy in the Championship?
I'll be backing Brighton on the outright at 5-4, but my nap will be race to 2 Brighton. At 7-4, I'm gonna take the extra step here. Right? I'm aware of the naps table. You've leapt, I think, £2 in front of me, Alex.
Very tight.
You were saying so that's a bit of a worry for me. But of course, on this podcast, it's not really about the naps table between us. It's what is the right bet for listeners' money to go on. Ultimately, if we all come out and profit this season, all three of us, with Jack and Jason, of course, switching, that is a brilliant season for us and more importantly for the listeners. But the fact is that Forest have lost the race to 2 in 4 of their last 5 home games. They're not scoring. Brighton have won it consistently again and again and again, 3 of their last 4 away. We mentioned earlier in the podcast where to go. The race to markets, like we said already, they're better more often than not in play, but I will happily take it pre-match here. My nap of the week is Brighton, race to 2 at 7-4.
Okay. Best of luck with that, Pete, and the rest of the bets that you've put up. Enjoy all the action in the Championship, and we'll be back same time next week. So it'll be good to speak to you then.
Thanks very much, mate. All the best. Good luck, everyone.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.